Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you. God our Father, I thank my God every time I think of you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership with the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right that I feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. For whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. And God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may discern what is best and be pure and blameless until the day of Christ Jesus, to the praise and glory of God the Father. Now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. For it has become known throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to preach the word of God more fearlessly and courageously. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, and others out of goodwill. The latter do so in love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether by false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Yes, and I continue to rejoice because I know that through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Christ Jesus, that what has happened to me will work out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed of the gospel, but that I will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in this body, it will mean more fruitful labor. But what will I choose? I do not know. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the Lord, so that through my being with you again, your joy in the Lord may overflow on account of me. Whatever happens, brothers, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you are standing firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. And this is a sign to them that they will be destroyed and that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ Jesus, not only to believe on his name, but also to suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggles you saw I had and now hear that I still have. If you have any encouragement in being united in Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship of the Holy Spirit, if any tenderness or compassion, make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself. Each one of you should look not only to his own interest, but also the interest of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God as something to be grasped, but he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And finding himself in the appearance of man, He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my dear brothers, just as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more so in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Do everything without complaining or arguing, that you may become blameless and innocent children of God in the midst of a perverse and crooked generation in which you shine like stars of the universe as you hold out the word of life, so that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor for nothing. But if I am being poured out like a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you. And you too should be glad and rejoice with me. I hope in the Lord to send Timothy to you so that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. For everyone looks out for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, for as a son with his father, he has served by my side in the work of the gospel. Therefore, I hope in the Lord to send him to you as soon as I see how things go with me, and I am confident that I myself will come soon. But I think it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, my fellow worker and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger whom you sent to care for my needs. For he longs for all of you, and he is distressed that you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill, and he almost died, but God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I am eager to send him to you, so that when you see him again, you may be glad, and I may have less anxiety. Welcome him in the Lord with great joy and honor men like him, for he almost died risking his life in the work of the Lord to make up for the help that you could not give to me. And finally, brothers, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write these same things to you again, and it is a safeguard. Watch out for those dogs, those men who do evil, those mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reason for such confidence. If anyone thinks he has reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew among Hebrews. As to the law, a Pharisee. As to zeal, persecuting the church. As to legalistic righteousness, faultless. But what was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider all things as loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I might gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but a righteousness that comes from faith in Christ, the righteousness that is from God and by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his suffering, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection of the dead. Not that I have already attained all of this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that by which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not yet consider myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize to which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take the same viewpoint of such things. And if you think differently on some point, that too God will make clear. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. For as I have often said before, and even now say again with tears, there are many who are enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach. Their glory is to their shame. Their minds are fixed on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven. From there, we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to put all things under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they look like his glorious body. Therefore, my brothers, those whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, that is how you stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. I urge you, Euodia, and I urge you, Syntyche, to agree with one another in the Lord. And yes, I ask you, loyal yoke fellow, help these women who have contended by my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all, for the Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but by everything in prayer and petition, along with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think on these things. And whatever you have learned from me or heard or even seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoice greatly that you have at last renewed your concern in me. Indeed, you had been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show me. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstance. I know what it is like to be in need, and I know what it is like to be plenty. And I have learned the secret of being content in any and every circumstance, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except only you. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again. Not that I am looking for a gift, but I am looking for that which may be credited to your account. I have received full payment and even more. And I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God. And my God will supply all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus, to the praise and glory of God the Father forever and ever. Greet all the saints in Jesus Christ. All the brothers who are with me send their greetings. All the saints send their greetings, especially those of Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen.